as the years went by, the influence of Carthage upon her neighbors increased, until the greater part of the African coast, Spain, and certain regions of France were Carthaginian possessions, and paid tribute, taxes, and dividends to the mighty city on the African sea. Of course, such a plutocracy was forever at the mercy of the crowd. As long as there was plenty of work and wages were high, the majority of the citizens were quite contented, allowed their betters to rule them, and asked no embarrassing questions. But when no ships left the harbor, when no ore was brought to the smelting ovens, when dock workers and stevedores were thrown out of employment, then there were grumblings, and there was a demand that the popular assembly be called together as in the olden days when Carthage had been a self-governing republic. To prevent such an occurrence, the plutocracy was obliged to keep the business of the town going at full speed. They had managed to do this very successfully for almost 500 years, when they were greatly disturbed by certain rumors which reached them from the western coast of Italy. It was said that a little village on the banks of the Tiber had suddenly risen to great power, and was making itself the acknowledged leader of all the Latin tribes who inhabited central Italy. It was also said that this village, which by the way was called Rome, intended to build ships and go after the commerce of Sicily and the southern coast of France.